Good afternoon. May it please the court. My name is Elena McKenna, file number 41780. I represent appellate City of Englewood in this matter. And the question before this court, as you all know from reading the brief, is the statutory interpretation of 841-209, which is the firefighter cancer statute under the Workers' Compensation Act. And the question before this court is whether the ALJ erred in determining that respondent City of Englewood did not meet their statutory burden of proof in overcoming the statutory presumption through presentation of non-occupational risk factors that would more likely cause of the claimant's cancer in this matter, which was skin cancer or melanoma. And really the issue is whether the ALJ incorrectly ruled that risk does not equal cause in this matter, and therefore he did not give the appropriate weight to the risk factors presented by respondents in this matter in determining whether they overcame the statutory presumption. In essence, the ALJ burdened the respondents with proving an actual cause of the claimant's melanoma, which is a burden not set forth in the statute or through the legislative history, and as we now have the benefit of the Castle Rock versus Bukowski case, we know that the standard set forth through that case does not require respondents to prove the actual cause of the individual's cancer. Now, per the town of Castle Rock case, the court in that case held that evidence of risk factors is sufficient to overcome the statutory presumption of compensability under 841-209. And that case is directly applicable to the instant matter. Respondents in this matter presented evidence of an alternative cause of the claimant's melanoma, namely the claimant's significant sun exposure in this matter. And as you've read the record, you would know that the testimony of both experts in this matter was that the cause of melanoma remains unknown. Most cancer, if not all cancers, have no known actual cause. Therefore, we only have risk factors to assess and analyze in determining causation here. And both medical experts in this matter agreed that Mr. Herbell had significant sun exposure due to his growing up on a farm, riding a tractor outside without sunscreen, and also engaging in construction work prior to becoming a firefighter. The record also indicates that significant sun exposure. This individual was diagnosed with basal cell carcinoma in 2000. He had numerous removals of that, which the experts agreed that the main cause of basal cell carcinoma is sun exposure. And Dr. Milliken, who is a respondent's expert in this matter, testified that 90%, the most likely cause of claimant's melanoma in this matter was 90% due to his sun exposure. And interestingly, claimant's own expert, Dr. Mayer, testified that this individual had a number of increased relative risks due to his significant sun exposure, his risks due to atypical nevi or moles, his race, and that based on the combination of those increased relative risks, that came out to a number of increased relative risk of 15.62, or approximately 1,500% higher risk. So respondents argue that you compare those, that 1,500% risk with the 32 or 33% risk, the increased relative risk established by the Master study, which is the study that is the basis of the 841-209 statute and the presumption of causality, that you compare those increased relative risks, clearly respondents established that the more likely cause of the claimant's melanoma in this matter was his sun exposure.
Ms. McKenna, if I may interrupt you, it seemed to me from reading the ALJ's decision that the ALJ concluded that Dr. Milliken's testimony was not credible.
That is correct. And if you look at the ALJ's order, which I was just about to go and dissect, if you look at paragraph 10 of his findings of fact in the order, the ALJ found that the claimant's expert, Dr. Mayer, opined the cause of melanoma was unknown and that claimant had all of these increased relative risks. But you are correct, in paragraph 9 of the order, the ALJ, in the conclusions of law section, the ALJ then credits Dr. Mayer's testimony over Dr. Milliken's testimony based on her testimony that risk does not equal cause, and that because the cause of melanoma is unknown, evidence of sun exposure, and they had gone into this discussion about the BRAF negative tumor and its effect on interpretation of sun exposure and its effect on this particular individual's melanoma, was insufficient to overcome the statutory presumption. However, that finding alone, based on the Castle Rock decision, is incorrect. We are able to discuss those factors as under a causation analysis in the workers' compensation realm.
Go ahead.
Practically, the Castle Rock case has been accepted on cert. Is that right?
That's correct.
And the Littleton case is also on cert.
City of Littleton versus Chris, correct.
Okay.
But the case as Kalski
hasn't been argued yet.
No, I think we are anticipated to argue this case in March. But the Castle Rock case is currently still on a remand back to the ALJ for consideration, irrespective of the acceptance of cert by the Supreme Court on that case. So at this point, we're arguing that the Castle Rock case is good law, and based on that, we are able to consider risk factors in these cases. Now, for the benefit, to give credit to this ALJ, that the Castle Rock case had not come out yet. So I'm staying with the panel's decision in this matter. So, you know, at this point, respondents are mainly asking for a remand in this case back to ALJ for reconsideration of the risk factors as appropriate evidence in determining whether respondents overcame the statutory presumption. If you also look at paragraph 12 of the order in the conclusions of law section, the ALJ credited Dr. Mayer's testimony as credible that risk does not rise to the level of cause regardless of the number of risks where the cause remains unknown. And these findings suggest that the ALJ ultimately believed that risk factor evidence was irrelevant because it cannot conclusively establish the actual cause of the claimant's cancer. And as we know that, you know, again, there's no known cause of cancer, only risk factors, that interpretation of the statute results in a strict liability interpretation. If we're unable to present evidence of these risk factors, then we're respondents are never able to present evidence to overcome the presumption.
But Ms. McKenna, pardon me, didn't the ALJ actually consider Dr. Milliken's testimony and the risk factors and just in the end credited the other expert more?
If you look at the wording of the order, and if you look at the paragraph 9, where he does consider Milliken's testimony as well as Dr. Mayer's, it's all under that initial heading that risk is not equal cause, and that you can't consider, basically you cannot compare the number of risk factors as compared to the risk of firefighting to establish cause. And then he goes into the analysis of the various testimonies of Dr. Milliken and Dr. Mayer, and I think it's unclear, at least at the very best, that to ascertain what the ALJ was thinking when he wrote this order, or what weight he gave to the risk factor evidence, or what he considered appropriate evidence in determining whether respondents overcame the statutory presumption. Therefore, again, we're requesting the remand. In light of the Castle Rock case, and in light of the inability to determine from his order exactly how he interpreted this risk factor evidence, whether, you know, the fact that now it is considered credible evidence in ascertaining causation in these cases, or whether we overcame the presumption, is permitted, you know, whether or not that would change the opinion. It may not. That's simply why we're asking for the remand for reconsideration of compensability in light of this new case based on the evidence that was previously submitted before the ALJ.
What about the ALJ's findings regarding the claimant's twin brother not contracting melanoma?
Again, it goes back to my same argument that's under paragraph 9, I believe, of the order and the conclusions of law, which is under that same initial opening statement that risk does not equate cause, risk factors cannot be considered. So I think it's hard to tell from that analysis what weight was given to the risk factors as compared to that particular evidence that the twin brother did not contract melanoma. I just think you're unable to tell from this particular order whether he gave the appropriate weight to the risk factors as now permitted per the Castle Rock case. And if you look at the Chris case, it is, you know, as Judge Furman indicated, it is up on cert as well. The Chris case was discussed in the Castle Rock case, and I don't think those two cases deviate from one another. I think the Castle Rock case actually looked at the language in the Chris case, indicating it is difficult for employers in these matters to sometimes locate the type of evidence, to disprove specific causation in these matters because firefighters encounter a number of exposures over their course as firefighters. It would be almost impossible to break down each and every exposure they were encountered and disprove specific causation of a claimant's melanoma due to each and every exposure. Therefore, the court and Chris indicated and was accepted and discussed in the Castlerock case that evidence of an alternative cause will be sufficient to overcome the statutory presumption. And then the Castlerock court further expanded upon that notion and said, yes, we can present evidence of an alternative cause in employers. And in addition, risk factor evidence is competent substantial evidence to establish whether a respondent overcame the statutory presumption. So I believe those two cases in this matter support the request for a remand. If you want to send me further questions, I'd like to reserve the rest of your time above.
Very well, you have 4 minutes and 22 seconds, Ms. McKenna.
Good afternoon, members of the panel. My name is Neil O'Toole. I represent Firefighter Harrell. I wish everybody here a happy new year. We can still do that this time, I assume. Judge Talman, I was listening to your questions and the response. If you look at this famous paragraph 9, this has been referenced several times, there's a statement based on Dr. Meyer's persuasive report and testimony. Respondent's assertion that claimant did not develop melanoma while working as a firefighter for the employer is speculative. Now, this is based on the totality of the evidence, and I'm very fortunate that the way the judge addressed these issues took into account the presentation of substantial evidence, and also, I'll acknowledge, the evidence that I presented was able to demonstrate the speculative nature of what Dr. Milliken was saying, and even he acknowledged he did not know what caused melanoma. He thought he was working on something, and he basically said, I cannot tell you when or if somebody is going to contract melanoma. But what did he admit? He admitted, because he was basing a lot of what he said on a breath. And I apologize, I can't tell you what BRAF means right now, but I can say to you that BRAF is only one piece of evidence. You know, in terms of I never heard this word before I got involved in this stuff, nevi, but apparently moles are nevi, and apparently there's some precursor information. Well, you know, the way the studies work out, on 100,000 people, it's going to be 10,000 that have nevi. Now we know in Firefighter Harrell's case, 50 people are going to have melanoma. Why don't more? Well, it doesn't matter. The legislature did make a determination of causation. This was recognized in the Chris case as well as the case below. I have to struggle with, there's nothing I can do about the fact that Zukowski exists. It exists, and we will find out what the Supreme Court says about it. We'll find out whether they will be convinced that risk can equal cause because somebody can delve into and come up with numerous risks when, in fact, they do not know what cause is. Our position is that there is enough in this record to support the determination of the ALJ and the ICAP based on this record and even in light of Zukowski.
Mr. O'Toole, what do we do with the language also in paragraph 9 about Dr. Milliken's analysis equating cause with risk?
Well,
or risk with cause.
Well, I would encourage you, because you have independent judgment and an analytic powers, to conclude, as I suggest you include, that risk doesn't equal cause. But even if you make that argument, assuming arguendo there's some basis for the connection between the two, here they didn't meet it. They didn't hit the point where they overcame the presumption. They mean, of course, being City of Englewood. So I'd say to you, that is what I ask you to do. It would be Well, I wouldn't say necessarily courageous. I would think it would be rigorous thinking that you would understand that risk does not equal cause, and so articulate.
I thought there was rigorous thinking in the Zukowski case.
You did. Yes, well,
that's perfect. I was on the vision, if you recall.
Yes, I recall. Even here, this is what I say in this case. Look, I've said throughout the process, Zukowski was wrong.
I understand.
I hate the use of that concept because it's not really, it's just telling you. But even taking Zukowski into effect, I believe he meant it here. We had another case before this. It's not NSOP, it's the Milan case, a captain who had prostate cancer. In that case, probably at oral argument, not that it may not have mattered at all. I would have come to, I should have argued Zukowski. I tried to say, look, it even meets Zukowski, but unfortunately, I didn't do that until after the oral argument and did it by motion, and I was excoriated for that. But I can live with that. Of course, we do. What do we do in this business? We have to be imaginative. So my colleagues say to me, well, how did you do that? There's no rule. Precisely. There's no rule.
That's what you do.
Anyway, looking at paragraph 9 and this whole discussion of risk, it may be what I've misdirected what this court's attention should be on, whether there is adequate evidence to support the ALJ and his view of the evidence, as I've outlined in my brief, dealing with various aspects. And I realize it's not particularly the most scientific determination, but I'm not sure the statute is clearly the most scientific analysis of cancer causation. But I will tell you, it seemed pretty good in this case when you have a twin brother who raised in the same conditions. He doesn't have it, and he's not a firefighter. How do you explain it? Well, Milliken couldn't, and he couldn't explain a number of things. He looked at this Curtin article. He had a different opinion from Dr. Mayer. Perhaps if the judge said he's right in terms of this analysis, maybe he could have gone the other way. Thankfully, he didn't. And I realized that, he had a pretty strong opinion that we got despite the dissent. And that Judge Caparelli's dissent is pretty adamant. Wait, again, wrong, but adamant. It's our position that, of course, we have enough here, based on the evidence, that this court shouldn't go outside of what the judge determined and say, all right, let's say you deal with risk, and you say, is that important to this decision? I guess I'd say, theoretically, it might be dicta. I don't know, because I never understood what that concept means, but I do understand that the decision was based on substantial evidence as presented to this ALJ at the time, and that indeed he made the decision. And there was arguments about all of this, what constitutes cancer, how many people, what percentage of the population have nevi, da 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 da. Well, it didn't cover, according to the ALJ, didn't overcome that presumption. And can you do it on speculation? The judge concluded that the opinion of Dr. Milliken amounted no more than speculation, or was speculative. Now, that's not science-based. That's not medical evidence. Speculation is not medical evidence. That's what the statute says. It must be overcome by medical evidence, by preponderance of the evidence. And they didn't meet it. That's all I have to say. I don't know if I have anything else to say. Oh, yeah, this is one of my favorite part of these skin cases. The fact is, and this is evidence, it's ironic I got this evidence from respondents in another case, but the same stuff. Was that the UV levels in Washington, Northwest, Oregon, are much lower than here. No one was higher. There was no dispute. Why? I don't know. So why is not, why is, does that evidence a lack of causation? I don't know, because I don't know what the cause of this cancer is. I'd say that's That's one area.
It isn't that kind of the heart of these cases? It's really hard to say what is cause.
Therefore,
if Englewood, for example, has statutory authority to overcome a presumption, it would be impossible in all of these cases.
This impossibility argument. First off, is it impossible? I don't think so. I believe, first off, you're here, we start with my whole discussion and agreement had to deal with the limitations already placed on the statute on who falls under its purview. Okay, so let's start with that. So we've already limited that universe down quite a bit. Okay, now, impossible. Maybe it's more difficult today, and it's likely much more difficult today than it will be in 10 years, in 5 years, in 3 years. We don't know what's going on in the study of genomics. We don't know what's going on in terms of the connection between genomics and causation. Because we do know, at this point, there is no connection that has been made. So, it's difficult, maybe very difficult. The burden that's described in Littleton, in that Jeff Kirsch case. It's really a pretty heavy burden. I'm not about to dispute that. I'm not telling you that I have an answer for the cities like Englewood. All I know is they haven't been able to overcome the presumption in most cases, and that they shouldn't be able to do it based on risk analysis. That's our position, that risk clearly, I'm relying on guys that do this for a living. Mukherjee wins the Pulitzer Prize. These other guys write about cancer and causation. And it's clear. Risk is just something that says avoid it, and you may be able to avoid cancer. But avoid smoking. Do you avoid lung cancer? Then why do we have people that die of lung cancer? Isn't that bad? Exposures to any carcinogens, it appears. And there they are. They're dying. I don't know the answer. I just know that the legislature said, look, these guys are important to us, and we're going to protect them. And you're not going to just, we're going to presume that this was causation. And they've done it in other jurisdictions, and our position is that they're correct in other jurisdictions, and that the rationale that is used should be employed here to avoid a situation where jurors such as yourself go behind legislative view and say, wait, there's no scientific basis, because some expert says there's no scientific basis. They need a decision. It's over. And there's rationally based because they, I went through, in the most recent City of Englewood case, I had to do a reply brief. I started going through what they rely on. All the people that testified against the statute, there was half dozen there, experts all over the place saying, no. The legislature said, yes, based on the testimony of Dr. Weaver and her colleague out of Johns Hopkins. That's it. As far as I'm concerned, that's all she wrote. And if you're going to go behind it, I think that's wrong. But you make these decisions. I argue them. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. O'Toole.
Thank you.
Council brought up the City of Golden versus Milan case, which was another firefighter cancer case before a different panel of this court. It was an unpublished decision, but in that case, the court found that it was they're unable to tell from that particular order, which is very similarly written to this one, whether the ALJ considered risk factors in determining that respondents did not overcome the statutory presumption. They remanded that case back down to the ALJ for reconsideration of the evidence in light of the Castle Rock case. So that case is very similar to here. The order did discuss other risk factors as well as credit Dr. Mayer's testimony, who was the same expert in this case, that risk does not equate cause, therefore you cannot consider this evidence of risk factors. So, that's yet another court, although unpublished, that or another panel of this court that's found, risk factors should be considered here, And no one disputed the presumption applied here. We stipulated at the outset of the hearing that claimant met the presumption. There's no dispute as to the scientific validity of the presumption itself. We're merely trying to present a case to overcome the statutory presumption. And based on legislative history behind this statute, the burden of proof is a preponderance of the evidence, more likely true than not. You know, it was initially a clear and convincing standard, and that was amended downward to a preponderance standard. So clearly here, we are still able to present evidence. Is it more likely than not that claimant's skin cancer was caused either by his firefighting or by his significant sun exposure in this matter? And if we are able to consider risk factors, if you look at claimant's own expert, she agreed there's increased relative risks here, up to a 1,500% higher risk based on the other risk factors, the sun exposure, the race, the atypical knee bite, the sun exposure being the main risk factor. So again, the paragraph 9 language in the order of the conclusions of law that discusses how Dr. Milliken's testimony was speculative, I interpret that section of the order to mean risk factor discussion is speculative, which is our whole argument here. It's not speculative. It's the only thing that respondents can present as evidence where there's no known cause of the cancer. You know, the General Assembly specifically included the statutory presumption, ability to rebut the statutory presumption. It did not enact a strict liability statute. It did not even have a higher burden of clear and convincing to overcome the statutory presumption. So these risk factors should be considered, and therefore that's why the remand is proper in this matter. I'd also like to address the twin brother argument. If you see in the record, the experts actually discussed, or at least I know Dr. Milliken did, that melanoma causation attributable to family history is 10%. You know, you look at these other risk factors of sun exposure or atypical knee bite, those are much higher. So again, if you're weighing the relative risk factors in this matter, that if the judge has the ability to weigh that as compared to Dr. Milliken's testimony, I think the evidence will show that we overcame that statutory presumption through this other evidence of sun exposure. It seems manifestly unfair that ALJ can say, hey, look, I'm going to credit Dr. Mayer's testimony that family history wasn't present here. It's a risk factor, but yet I'm going to disregard the risk factors presented by respondent's sun exposure because it's too speculative. It doesn't arise to the level of actual cause.
Well, isn't that something that an ALJ would normally do, to weigh the testimony and how credible or persuasive it is?
Yes, and I would agree with you if the order was written in a different way where we could ascertain whether or not he actually considered or gave appropriate weight to the risk factors of sun exposure. If you're just unable to tell from this order, hence a request for the remand and reconsideration, you know, the result may be the same, but I think respondents are entitled to at least a consideration and the risk factors, at least a discussion or statement that we consider sun exposure and we don't find it to be the number one risk factor in this matter. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. McKenna. Thank you again, Mr. O'Toole. We appreciate very much both of your arguments this afternoon.